Okay, welcome to the church that gathers at Bethel Baptist. I'm one of your pastors, Josh, and I get to bring the word of the Lord today. We always welcome our new guests, and we always look into the camera, and those who are watching online, we want to welcome you today. But this morning, we have a special group here today. So we have a group from World Song Camp. This summer, they are investing their lives in other people. And you might not know this, but it was at a Christian camp in the summer that I surrendered to the call to ministry. So you're serving this summer for people like me. God is calling missionaries and calling pastors, and souls are getting saved because of what they do. These men and women have given their summer for the glory of the Lord. So church, let's let them know how thankful we are of them. They are our host this Sunday. It's a joy to host you guys. And if you're not part of that group, we are thankful you are here also. But we're not as thankful as we are for them. So we're continuing our sermon series called The Mind of a Disciple. Every week we are looking at one of the 12 disciples and asking God to help us model our lives on those who have gone before. So again, we're going to have our pop quiz, and I've helped you on the screen behind me today. So let's go through the 12 disciples. Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Okay, then there's that next four. Philip, Bart, we call him Bartholomew, Thomas, and then the writer of the first book in the New Testament, Matthew. And then you have another James. You have Thaddeus. You have Simon the Zealot, not Simon Peter. And then you have the betrayer. You have Judas. Today we look at a man named James, the second James. We don't know much about this James in Scripture. And actually, scholarship has very little to say about the second James, James, son of Alphaeus. History knows him as James the Less, L-E-S-S, James the Little, or James the Younger. And one historian actually called this James the unknown apostle. So you might be asking, well, how long is your sermon going to be? Well, it's not going to be any shorter. I just make stuff up. But what we will see, even in people who have very little identity, we can learn from those who have gone before us in our faith. Actually, I think we know very little about James, son of Alphaeus, and this is God's design in Scripture. You see, James, Alphaeus, James, son of Zebedee, or any other disciple, they are not the hero of the Bible. James is not the point of the New Testament. Actually, there is a hero. It's a man that Genesis looked forward to. You remember when sin came into the world, God in Genesis 3:16, which we call the early gospel, the proto-evangelion, says this to Eve. He said, you will have a seed. You will give birth to this person. And the snake will bruise his heel. But this person will crush the head of the serpent. That is Jesus Christ. We don't know much about James because he is not the hero of Scripture. The man born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, the man who lived a sinless life, died on the cross, and rose again. That is the hero of our faith. So if you ask us, why do we gather as Christians? We would tell you a simple message. It's called the good news. Jesus in our place. And James, son of Alphaeus, would say, don't look at me, but look to Christ. So let me pray, and then we're going to look at the unknown disciple today, or the lesser disciple. Father, we thank you that we are not the hero of our lives, but you are. You have created us in your image, according to your likeness, that we might glorify you and enjoy your love forever. But Father, we know that our sin and our brokenness has separated us from that love. But Lord, you did not desire for us to live in eternity without you. So you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, who being equal with God, did not consider equality something to be taken advantage of. but he humbled himself and became a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he came as a man, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. And for this very reason, Lord, at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, Father, today as we gather, may our hearts sing and may our tongues confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The lesser disciple. If you open your Bibles, and you can go ahead and turn to the book of Mark chapter 2. If you were looking for passages on the son of Alphaeus, you would find very few. You would only find him in the listing of the disciples, the apostolic list. And he's always in the last group of four, but he's first. Some scholars would argue that he is the leader of that final group. We don't know, but that's the only place you find his name in Scripture. Although you can't find his name littered in the pages of sacred writ, James' legacy can be found on most of the paragraphs. Here's why. Because he is one of the disciples. So if you find Jesus in the Bible, you will find James. Because where Jesus walked, James walked. Where Jesus went, James went. Where Jesus stayed, James went. So you might not find his name in Scripture, but if you find Jesus, you'll find James. And that's a good way to live your life. Go where Jesus went, say what Jesus said, do what Jesus did. May we all be James in our life. But you might have heard of James's more famous brother. Now, this is not the first time you hear this, right? James the Elder, or James the Greater, had a brother named John. He was a very prolific writer. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of Revelation. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You might have heard of Andrew and his more famous brother. Andrew brought individuals to Jesus, but it was Peter who preached to thousands at Pentecost. Well, in Mark chapter 2, we hear of another son of Alphaeus. Look at Mark 2:14 if you have your Bibles open. Pray that you do. Mark 2, Jesus, verse 13, went out again beside the sea, and the whole crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. Then, passing by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at a toll booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. Levi has another name, and you might know him as Matthew. So Matthew is the more famous brother of John, son of Alphaeus. And most likely, Matthew and James were brothers and of the priestly tribe Levi. That's where Matthew gets his name. But this is not the only relative of the son of Alphaeus we have in Scripture. So James has a more famous, well-known brother, but he also has a mother who has surrounded herself in the shadow of faith of Jesus of Nazareth. So let's jump to Mark chapter 15. This is the very end of the gospel. Jesus is on the cross. And while he is on the cross, in verse 40 of Mark 15, we see that he's not alone. Now, if you ever wonder, and there's a debate right now, what is the place of women in the church? You ask 10 different people, you'll get 10 different answers. But if you ask, is there a role for women in faith, all you have to do is read the Gospels. Because at the cross, we don't see the disciples there. We see John, but we see a multiplicity of women there at the cross. And the Bible never tells us why. But if you ask me, is there a place for women in the faith community, I would point you to Mark chapter 15, verse 40. There were also women watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger, James of Alphaeus, and Joseph, and Salome. So church, is there a place for women leading for the glory of God in the community of faith? Absolutely. Was there a place for women at the cross of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. God uses all people for his glory and for our good. So James has a famous mother, Mary, who was at the cross. Now this Mary, James's mom, was possibly, as Mark says, the mother of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. So when they were growing up and their parents said, Mary, get over here. Makes it easy. They all come. Which was, we should have named our children the same. That would have just made everything, our life easier. So James was likely the cousin to Jesus Christ. This is his family. This is his faith. We know very little much about James and Matthew from this point on. Even more, we don't know how or when James responded to the call to follow the Lord. But there is much that we can still learn from this unknown disciple. So let me tell you what tradition would say about James. And this is fascinating. Many throughout history have tried to explain why James was called James the Less, James the Little, like little person, or James the Unknown Apostle. And many have tried to describe what was going on. Some have said, well, he is James the Little because he's James the Younger. James Zebedee would be older and James Alphaeus would be younger. So it was a term of respect and endearment. So they would say that this James is the younger James. Other scholars will say, no, you got it wrong. This James is James the Little because he's a little fella. He's small in stature. And you can, if you look at a lot of the portraits of disciples throughout the years, they actually portray James of Alphaeus as a smaller in stature person, like Zacchaeus. And so they would say that this James is a tiny individual. But there's an Italian historian from 1200s that says this about James. And this tradition fascinates me. If you go back throughout history and see James painted, the portrayal of James the Younger looks very much like Jesus Christ. And this Italian historian actually says this. He said that the James, of son of Alphaeus, resembled Jesus Christ so much in body, visage, and manner that it was difficult to distinguish him from one another. So this historian actually suggests that in the garden, Judas Iscariot kisses Jesus because the world could not tell the difference between James the Younger and Jesus Christ. They looked so much alike. Now that should captivate our minds and our attentions. Because if anything could be said of you and I, may the world say about us that we look like Jesus Christ. If the world were to paint my sculpture one day or paint my picture, may they draw my life to look like Jesus Christ. That what Jesus says, we say. That what Jesus does, we do. And what Jesus looks like, may we look. Paul would say it this way. For I have been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of Man. Church, may we look like Jesus Christ. Paul would later say in Corinthians to the Corinthian church, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He tells others, look like me because I am living my life that looks like Jesus. And if you think that's a lot of pressure, how would you like to be the Holy Spirit whose job it is to make you and I, by faith, look like Jesus. Praise God that His Spirit is in us, making us look like the Father. Romans 8:29 says this, "For those that He foreknew, He is also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." So if you have given your life to Jesus by faith, God has destined you, predestined you to look, to image His Son. So as James looked like Jesus, you will look like Jesus. If you call yourself a Christian, the word Christian itself, the word Christ in Greek, means the anointed one. Jesus is the anointed Son of God. But the suffix on that word means little ones. So if you are calling yourself a Christ, you are now Josh the younger. You are Jesus the little fella. You are Jesus the little one. Think about that, church. We are to be people who look and image Jesus Christ to the world. So if the world says, "What does Jesus look like?" we should raise our hand and say, "Listen, I'm not perfect yet, but look to me and I'll show you Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit is in me, conforming me to His image." Church, look like Jesus Christ. Go back today or this week and Google the portraits of the disciples and look at Jesus and find the disciple that looks a lot like Jesus. That is James, the unknown apostle. And may it be said of you and I that we look like the Messiah. But that's not all. Not only should we look like Jesus, I believe James teaches us that less is more. They call him James the Less. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 35, we have this interesting scenario that another James brings up. James the Greater asks the question, James the Lesser is in attendance. And James the Greater ask the greater one, Jesus Christ, this in Mark 10, verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, approach him and say, "Teacher, Rabbi, we want you to do whatever we ask for," which is either bold or foolish or both. And Jesus says, "Bring it on, boys. What do you want me to do for you?" And they answered him, "Allow us to sit at your right hand, at your left in your glory." And Jesus said to the two, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptizing with?" And at this point, Jesus has given them a spiritual moment to pause and rest and say, "Jesus, we're out. We can't do this." But in typical Zebedee fashion, they say, "Oh yeah, we are able to do this." And Jesus said, "You will drink the cup I drink. You will be baptized with the baptism I baptize with. But to sit at my right or my left, that is not mine to give." So James the Great asked Jesus, "Give me a great position in heaven." Now, the two asked the question, but the ten are nearby. So James the Less, here's James the Greater, asked Jesus for a great position. Are you tracking with me? Does that make sense? So now, in verse 41, the ten disciples heard this. They became indignant with James and John. Now, we don't know why they're angry. Maybe they're mad because they think that James and John foolishly think that they can do what Jesus did and be who Jesus is. Maybe they're angry to say, "Well, there's no way you can drink the cup of the baptism Jesus is offering." I think they're angry because the two were asking for what the ten wanted. They were saying, how dare you ask Jesus to sit there? That's my place. But what this reminds us of, James the Greater has a living reminder of James the Less. James, don't be great, be less. And Jesus reminds them in this passage. He says right here in verse 41 through 45. Jesus calls them all over. He said, hey, James the Great, get over here. James the Less, get over here. Boys, let me tell you how it's done. He says, you know that those who lord over the Gentiles in high positions act as tyrants. But not so in the kingdom of God. Whoever wants to become great, in Greek, megas, whoever wants to be large, have a great platform, have a great seat to sit at the right hand, whoever wants to be great, and I'm speaking to you, James the Greater, I'm speaking to you, James the Lesser, must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you will be slave to all. You see, the disciples wanted to be big in God's eyes. And to be big in God's eyes means we have to be less or small in the kingdom. And James teaches us. His name reminds us. When you think of James, son of Alphaeus, think of James the Lesser. When you think of less, think God, to be great in the kingdom is to be the servant. To have a great position is to serve tables and to submit myself under the lordship of Jesus Christ and to serve others. You see, the disciples had a mega man complex. They wanted to be big. They wanted to be great. They wanted to have a big platform. They wanted to be influencers. And to be an influencer in the kingdom is to be less. The world thinks status, but disciples think service. Church, kingdom impact and greatness is not about you. It's not. In a world that says you get yours, in a world that says build your platform, find more friends, and really, for most of your social media friends, you don't have their phone numbers. You don't even know who they are. They might be unknown bots from an unknown land. But we collect friends because if we think if we have more friends, we have more followers. And if we have more followers, then we are mega important. And Jesus calls us around and says, church, to be great in God's eyes is to be less. The first shall be last, and the important will be the servant. And may we be men and women of faith to say, God, I will submit my life to you. Take it from James the Little. Less is more. Whoever wants to be great in the eyes of God must become the least. Look like Jesus Christ. Less is more. And we find one more important spiritual truth. Okay, so if I ask you, what can you tell me about James from Scripture? What do you know? It's not rhetorical. What do you know about James? Okay, he's the son of Alphaeus. He has a brother named Matthew, mom named. Okay, now what else do you know? Looks like Jesus. Okay, I'll give you that one. Less is more. Okay, anything else do you know? I hear some murmuring. Okay, it gets really sparse really quick. This is what James shows us. We have nothing in Scripture that he says or does. Church, faithfulness to Jesus is better than fame any day. Faith is greater than fame. And we're reminded of that because James could have claimed to be somebody. He could have said, do you know who my mom is? She was at the cross. Do you know who my brother is? He wrote the very first book in the New Testament. What did your brother do? What did your mom do? But James doesn't do that. It's as if he is content to go quietly unnoticed through the Bible. It was as if for James that faithfulness to Jesus was a greater treasure than any fame the world could offer. In a world that is concerned with platforms, for James, knowing and following Jesus was enough. Church, faithfulness is greater than fame. And the writer of Hebrews does the same exact thing for us. Hebrews 11 is this hall of faith. And the writer of Hebrews gives you some very famous Yahweh-focused people. People like Abel, who offered a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. People like Noah, who faithfully built an ark when there was no rain. And he waited for the day that God's promise would be fulfilled. People like Enoch, who was so righteous that he walked with God and he was no more. And the list goes on and on. Rahab, David, and there's all these well-known, famous people of faith. But then something happens towards the end of that chapter. In verse 35 and 36, it's as if the writer of Hebrews runs out of names. And he says this. He says, other people, no names, he just called them others, were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings, scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they died by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says about these other people. People, you will never know their name on this side of heaven. It says, the world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy. Listen, the world remembers next to nothing about James, son of Alphaeus. But you know what God says about him? The world was not worthy of James. Because faith is greater than fame every single day. Church, let faith do the talking. Let your faith do the talking. We look at James' life and we ask, so what? How do I live out a life that looks like Christ? A life where less in the kingdom is more in the eyes of the sight of the Lord. A life that I say, God, the most important thing today is not fame, but it is faith. We go back to what the world says about James in portraits. That he looked like Jesus in stature and appearance. Do you look like Jesus today? You know, the Bible says that unless you are righteous as Christ is righteous and holy, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So when you die, and we all will, by the way, when you go to the gates of heaven and God says, why should I let you in my kingdom? If you do not have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, there is no answer that will suffice. So I ask you right now, do you look like Jesus? And you might think, well, Pastor, there is no way that I can live a sinless life. And if you say that, you are actually using biblical language. Because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God also promises this. He says it about Jesus. That he, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin. That you and I might become the righteousness of God. Today, God is offering you a chance to look like his son because Jesus died on the cross for your sins. and he rose again. That's why we say we gather because of the gospel. Jesus in our place. Jesus took your place on the cross. He took the place for your good days because your good days never measure up. He took today, he took the price for your bad days. Because the sin that we so desperately want to hide, and we think, well, if no one knows about this, then it'll just go away. But God knows about your sin. And your sin will never go away. It's like a bad debt. You can't go into bankruptcy and it be cleared. Our sin will follow us to heaven, and our sin keeps us from the presence of God today, and it keeps us out of the presence of God. But if you would confess Jesus as Lord, if you would repent of your sin and follow him, Jesus will forgive you, he will cleanse you, and he will make you look like him. That is his promise. So what keeps you from looking like Jesus today? Maybe you say, Pastor, I need to follow Christ. How do I do that? You can pray a prayer of faith that sounds something like this. It's not the words that save, it's your heart of faith in Jesus, the Son of the living God that saves you. And if you pray this prayer, this is God's promise to you. The Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, what? Will be saved. You can pray a prayer like this. Father, I know that I have sinned. I know I don't look like Jesus, but today I need to look like Jesus. I believe, God, that you sent your only Son. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose again. And I believe he did it for me. So God, today I follow you. I turn from my sin. And I will run to the cross, where I will find forgiveness and abundant life in my time of need. Church, there was a missionary to Moravia that once said this: may we preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten. The world forgets James the Lesser, but God never forgot him. Actually, the Lord says this about James: the world was not worthy of him. May we look like Christ. May we submit our lives because less is more. And may we be people of faith who say faithfulness today is greater than any fame the world has to offer. But our heart's desire be to live the gospel, to die, and say, forget me, but remember Jesus. Father,